All right, next up we've got Crumpart doing Motor Scooter. She walks on the bus to paint her poets, puff little rings on important cigarillos. To prove they're not over the hill downtown, and you can write that down, playing on your piano. She smiles in the ring, trying to win the show, stand right by the back, bunch of new foes.
Crumpart is also known as Hot Pink Halo. And Motor Scooter was done by a group called the Surrealists. And we were the giftees in this case. Chumpy and I, Jerkatorium, were the giftees for this one.
Now, I picked this song, but Ryan could have very easily picked this song since Ryan introduced this song to me way back in the day in like the early 90s.
Yeah, I have a history with this song, and you know, it's a long, boring story with no payoff. So I don't know if I should tell it, should I? Or
we can just get the highlights. So the Surrealists were a band that were around in the Evergreen State College in the early 1990s. This is from a cassette-only release called Fish, which was released on Seattle-based Vagrant Records. And I think it's safe to say that this song is obscure.
Oh, very, very much so. We've looked for digital versions of the song since and have been completely unable to find it. The original that got put on YouTube is a digitized version of the cassette that I was given. I was given this cassette by sort of the lead guy in the Surrealists, who I was sort of thinking about joining the band as, I can't remember if it was a guitarist or a bassist, because they were looking for somebody and I was looking for something to do. And so he gave me, I think maybe at least two, but maybe four cassettes of their entire portfolio. And I listened to all of them and I didn't like anything on any of those cassettes at all. But I still wanted to join the band because the one song, the one gem in that was Motor Scooter. And I was like, oh, man. And I told them as much. I was like, wow, you know, this song is excellent. This is the best song that I've heard in a long, long time. And they told me immediately that song was written by their drummer, who is no longer with the band, so they don't play it. So I said, okay, no thanks, bye. But I kept the tape. And then I would put it on some like compilation tapes or CDs for friends. And one of our friends kind of kept it alive because he really, really got into it and couldn't figure out any of the lyrics, which if you don't have them handy are pretty impossible to figure out. So, but I had it on the cassette insert. And so I eventually typed them out for him and sent them to him. And then, you know, it stayed on our mind for like 30 years, and eventually I sort of made a fan video out of it, and I put the lyrics in that too. So, and then it's staying alive still because somebody did a cover of it.
Yay.
And now we're back to the podcast.
So, yeah. This is an excellent cover. I feel like she changed up the instrumentation a lot but kept the sort of frenetic pace of vocal delivery, which I would have been pretty confident beforehand that she would have changed just because those lyrics come fast and furious, but she totally keeps up. I thought this was a good cover. It's a fun and quirky arrangement. I think that there is a handful of little vocal melody alterations on some line endings that I think are a little bit different. And because I've heard this song so many times, they're like, that's not quite right. But, you know, it's her cover, so I'm glad that she chose the song to cover, and I'm especially glad that she had fun doing it, so that's amazing.
Yeah, I give her a lot of leeway because it's her interpretation of it, and it is a challenging song to get all those lyrics in there. It's really bum-ba-da-dum-ba-da-dum-ba-da-dum-ba-da-dum-ba-da-dum-ba-da-dum sort of set of lyrics. And it's relentless. It just keeps on going and going. But yeah, I actually heard the first version of this cover, which was posted and had a bunch of errors in it, like it was a corrupted file or something like that. And it was a real mess because like so much of everything was off time. And when I heard that, I was like, I'll admit it. I was disappointed because, of course, that was so strange and random and unappealing. And, you know, I wasn't thrilled. But when this corrected version was posted, it fixed all of that. This version's fun and it has a lot of charm. And, you know, it's pretty stripped down and minimal. And some of the chords are different. And, you know, I do prefer, though, when covers differ from the originals in big, noticeable, and creative ways. So I enjoyed this, and I liked it more the more I heard it.
I loved both the original and the covers. So thank you for introducing me to this crazy song. It was a wonderful mix of very catchy in a very, you know, straightforward, uncontroversial way. I mean, that main hook that, you know, she's got a face like an album cover, writing on the back of it, like that's such an earworm. And it's combined with this just enough offbeat, kind of weird, the chord that you don't quite expect and the instrumentation that you don't quite expect. There's a certain band I don't need to name that many of us are big fans of that it strongly reminded me of. And I think that she did a fantastic job keeping that offbeat energy with, as you said, a much more stripped down approach. I'm a sucker for those Casio drum loops. Like, yes, they're cheap and ridiculous, but, you know, they work. Like, they have energy, even though it's this ridiculous, you know, this sound coming out of a 3-foot-long keyboard, it works. And she pulled it off really well. I really enjoyed it.